Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. In this statement, Sri Suta Goswami answers the first question of the sages of Naimasharanya. The sages asked him to summarize the whole range of revealed scriptures and present the most essential part, so that fallen people, or the people in general, might easily take it up. The Vedas prescribe two different types of occupation for the human being. One is called the Pravritti Marg, the path of sense enjoyment, and the other is called the Nivritti Marg, the path of renunciation. The path of enjoyment is inferior, and the path of sacrifice for the supreme cause is superior. The material existence of the living being is a diseased condition of actual life. Actual life is spiritual existence, or Brahma-Bhuta existence, where life is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. Material existence is temporary, illusory, and full of miseries. There is no happiness at all. There is just a futile attempt to get rid of the miseries, and temporary cessation of misery is falsely called happiness. Therefore, the path of progressive material enjoyment, which is temporary, miserable, and illusory, is inferior. But devotional service to the Supreme Lord, which leads one to eternal, blissful, and all-cognizant life, is called the superior quality of occupation. This is sometimes polluted when mixed with the inferior quality. For example, adoption of devotional service for material gain is certainly an obstruction to the progressive path of renunciation. Renunciation, or abnegation for ultimate good, is certainly a better occupation than enjoyment in the diseased condition of life. Such enjoyment only aggravates the symptoms of disease and increases its duration. Therefore, devotional service to the Lord must be pure in quality, i.e., without the least desire for material enjoyment. One should, therefore, accept the superior quality of occupation in the form of the devotional service of the Lord without any tinge of unnecessary desire, fruit of action, and philosophical speculation. This alone can lead one to perpetual solace in his service. It's a capital H, Krishna service. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. A living being's sustenance of existence is to coordinate his activity with his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna is the central pivot of all living beings, and he is the all-attractive living entity or eternal form among all other living beings or eternal forms. Each and every living being has his eternal form in the spiritual existence, and Krishna is the eternal attraction for all of them. Krishna is the complete whole, and everything else is his part and parcel. The relation is one of the servant and the served. It is transcendental and is completely distinct from our experience in material existence. This relation of servant and the served is the most congenial form of intimacy. One can realize it as devotional service progresses. Everyone should engage himself in that transcendental loving service of the Lord, even in the present conditional state of material existence. That will gradually give one the clue to actual life and please him to complete satisfaction. Savai pumsham paro dharmo yato bhaktira toksaji ahoitukya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, dharma, for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto this transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evata Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So with the blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially to the Prabhupada disciple, I request that you give me, allow me the opportunity to speak some words that are relevant to this verse. As I mentioned, this is a very essential verse. If you go to Vanipedia, very nice resource, it can give you information that you won't find in Prabhupada's books, because it is an analysis of Prabhupada's books, which is then put together. So you get the statistics behind Srila Prabhupada's statements. So as I mentioned, this verse is the second most quoted verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was looking at the other verses, the top verses, and I was quite struck that four of the top eight verses are verses about dharma, and they're very similar in meaning to this verse. I'll let you have a guess. Anyone think of some Dharma verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are quite often quoted by Srila Prabhupada? Okay, that's from the Bhagavad Gita, as you know. But that's interesting. That is the most quoted verse of Bhagavad Gita, another Dharma verse. That's not from the. That's got no Dharma in it. And it's from the Mandukya Upanishad, I believe, I think. Dharma Prajita Kaita Votra. Is it given up cheating religion? Very much in the mood of this verse. Dharma Svanushtita Pumsha Vishvakshena Katasuya Nodpadaya Jadiratim Shrama Eva Ikevalam. If one performs one's occupational duties but does not develop attachment for the Supreme, then that is Shrama, a useless waste of time. Shrama eva yikevalam. Ata pumbi dvija sreshta varna shrama vibhagasaha svanushtatasya dharmasya sangsidir haritoshanam. The perfection of one's dharma is to develop loving feelings for Adhoksija. It's interesting that haritoshana is another way of saying bhakti, isn't it? Haritoshana means pleasing Krishna. Bhakti means pleasing Krishna. So we see the similarity in these verses. They're all asking us to give up the lower dharma and accept the higher dharma. And in this purport, the lower dharma is described as the pravritti marg, the higher dharma as the nivritti. So everyone knows these words? Pravritti means you like to enjoy things. And you can do dharma, but you like to enjoy. And nivritti means it's for the not for the faint-hearted. You want to renounce. Prabhupada said this movement is for nivritti. So, for example, if you like the Nivritti Marg, you will go out on the street in the month of December in the cold and you will distribute Srila Prabhupada's books because you will get a higher taste. It said in the Manu Sangita, Pravrittir Esha Bhutanam Nivrittis Tu Maha Pala. The general tendency is Pravritti. As conditioned souls, we all want to enjoy. Therefore, Pravrittir Esha Bhutanam. However, Nivrittis tu mahapala. The great fruit is nivritti. So if you want to enjoy spiritually, you have to sacrifice. That's the message. Take, for example, the six Gosvamis. You know, the sad Gosvami Astika. It's full of bliss, internal nectar, prema, gopi bhav. It's all there. But what were they doing materially? They were just sleeping under trees, austere life, eating just a little bit of buttermilk every day or so. But internally, great enjoyers. Nivrittis tu mahapala. That's the great fruit of the Nivritti Marg. Now in the purport, I particularly liked one statement because it's something that we can expand on. Prabhupada writes, we have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. Very important. There's lots of things we can say about this. Now, in the material world, we are maintained. We all have to work, unless we are maintained by someone else. So our material occupation sustains our material life. But our spiritual occupation sustains our spiritual life. So what is our spiritual life? What is our spiritual nature? Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nityadas. We're eternal servants of Krishna. Therefore, what sustains our nature is devotional service. That is what's known as paradharma. Now, the word paradharma means the higher dharma. Can anyone give me any synonyms? There are lots of other ways we can say it. Instead of saying paradharma, we can say sanatan dharma. What other ones? Nitya dharma, thank you. Bhagavat dharma. I wasn't thinking of that one, yes. Bhagavat dharma. Jiva dharma. Sanatan dharma. Paramartika dharma. These are all these terms. So, in lectures, sometimes Prabhupada, he gets technical. In this purport, he's not technical. But in lectures, sometimes he says, dharma comes from the dhri dhatu. You ever know the word dhatu? It means a root. Sanskrit is based on roots. There aren't so many of them, so many words, but there are a few roots and many words. So dharma comes from the dhri dhatu. If you look at the dictionary, it means to support, to carry, to sustain. Here, Prabhupada says, that which sustains one's existence. So, etymologically speaking, dharma means something that it sustains our existence. And therefore, it does not change. Prabhupada gives the example. Water is wet. Wetness is the dharma of water. If you take wetness away from water, what are you left with? You're not left with anything. You can't have water without wetness. You cannot have fire without heat. You cannot have sugar without sweetness. It's so intrinsically linked that it cannot exist without it. Therefore, dharma is that which is so intrinsically linked to us that we cannot exist without it, and it cannot change. And there's only one dharma, Jivera Swarupahoi Krishnera Nityadas. It's devotional service to Krishna. So Prabhupada sometimes says, I purposely donated dharma as occupation. Sometimes he says, I have not translated it as faith. Why? Why not faith? What's wrong with faith? Why is that not a good translation of dharma? Faith can change, exactly. That's the whole point. So Prabhupada gives the example. Someone may be Hindu, they may become Christian. Someone may be Christian, they may become Muslim. That's always changing. That is faith, therefore that is not dharma. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, there's a statement, Satvana Rupa Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata. Krishna tells Arjuna, Shraddha, or faith, is based upon one's existence. The word existence is sattva. Sometimes we think of sattva means goodness, but it also means existence. So sattva and arupa means according to one's existence. So Shraddha, faith, is according to existence. The chapter 17, it's called Divisions of Faith. So to give an example, as Krishna does, he says, those in the mode of goodness, they worship the demigods. Those in the mode of passion worship demons. Those in the mode of ignorance worship ghosts and spirits. So we have three types of Shraddha here. Three different types of faith according to the modes of nature. So that's what it means by sattva anarupa Shraddha. Now in the purport, Prabhupada talks about Shuddha sattva, pure faith. In pure faith, we worship Krishna, right? Narayana Kalashanta Bhajanti Hyanasuyava. The Bhagavatam says those who are free from envy, they worship Narayana Kala. We worship the Vishnu Tattvas. If you worship Vishnu Tattva, that is a symptom of being in Shuddha Sattva. So in that sense, that type of faith doesn't change. That's a different type, right? So in a sense, Prabhupada, although he says faith is not a good translation of dharma, in a sense, if it's pseudo-sattvic faith, then it's an okay translation. So dharma, occupation, dharma as that which sustains, or nature. Here's one, dharma as religion. Is that okay or not? Do we vote for that one? Vote for or against? Is that okay? It's actually iffy. People are kind of, which is Correct. Yes, that's the nail on the head. So Srila Prabhupada, who knows this verse? Dharman tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. It's from the sixth canto. It's a famous verse that dharma is that which is enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is Yamaraj speaking to the Yamadutas. The Yamadutas, they said, Veda pranihito dharma, hya dharmas tad viparyaya, that what is prescribed in the Vedas, that is dharma. And anything else is adharma. Vedo Narayana Sakshad Swayambhur Iti Shushruma. The Vedas are directly Narayan. And therefore, whatever is written in the Vedas, that is dharma. Now, they got it wrong, didn't they? Krishna tells Arjuna, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. The Vedas are mainly dealing with the three modes of nature. So Krishna tells Arjuna to go above that dharma. So although it is true that dharma, the Vedas are the breathing of the Lord, and the Vedas represent the teachings of the Lord, still, these teachings are for many different types of people. And therefore, if you study the Vedas, you won't necessarily get the correct answer. So, here's an interesting thing. Prabhupada translates dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam, real religious principles. But then in a conversation, Prabhupada says, actually, it is translated as religion, but religion is not a good translation, he says. Why do you use it? Well, because religion, as Nishkinchana Chaitanya said, it's in its absolute sense, and religion really means to connect to Krishna, right? If you look at the origin of the word, because it's just, we understand, my understanding is, because religion is a word that we understand to mean connecting to God. But sometimes he says religion is not such a good word because there are different religions just as there are different types of faith. That's exactly what he's saying. Anyway, so that's basically what I wanted to say about dharma. A few other things. Let's look at the type of dharma, ahaituki. It's another interesting word. It must be unmotivated. The word hetu means cause. So when it's ahaituki, there's no material cause. But this statement has another meaning. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives another meaning. He says, the bhakti itself cannot be caused. And when asked, what is the cause of bhakti? The answer is, bhakcha sanjataya bhakcha. Bhakti comes from bhakti. It's closed. That is why we want to go on the street and meet people, because we may think very low of ourselves, and that's nice and humble, but actually we have something very precious. We're carrying bhakti in our hearts. So when people meet us, they become influenced. So we don't really see it, because it's sukshma, very subtle. But people are actually affected by the association of devotees, and that association builds up into faith. It's said in the Brihanaradiya Purana, Bhaktistu Bhagavat Bhakta Sangena Parijayati Satsanga Praputi Pumbir Sukritayar Purva Sangjitayar. That Sadhu Sangha comes from Sukriti, or spiritual Sukriti, and from that Sadhu Sangha we develop Bhakti, which means it's our faith. So when we go out on the street and we distribute Prabhupada's books, we meet people, they get a little Sukriti. They don't know anything, they don't know who we are. They maybe have no concept of religion, or they may have a different concept, or they may be atheistic, whatever it may be. But they come in contact with us, and something changes. They get a little Sukriti, they don't know it. And then they meet someone, and a year later, they get a little bit more Sukriti. Prabhupada says, the only way to get this Sukriti is association with devotees. So that builds up, and then it develops. And then when that builds up, then Krishna makes arrangement for that person to get proper devotee association. Bhakta Sangha is different from this chance association. And from that Sangha, then one develops actual faith. That's how it happens. So in this verse, that is what's actually meant by the term ahaituki. It's one of the meanings. It means bhakti has no other cause than itself. It is the bhakti within our hearts that spontaneously enters into the heart of the people we try and preach to. That is what's happening. So we are, if we are qualified, and if we're more qualified, our association will have a big effect. If we're little qualified, it will have only a small effect. And then a pratihata, it means two things as well. It means it should be uninterrupted in order to satisfy us, but it also means it cannot be interrupted. Now, who can give me an example of a personality from Srimad Bhagavatam who epitomizes this principle? Someone who, in spite of all the circumstances being against them, their devotional service was uninterrupted. Correct, Prahlad Maharaj. He's, what chance does he have? He's a 5-year-old child. His father controls the universe, and he wants to kill him. And what chances are you going to give him? But because devotional service is a pratihata, no matter how hard Panyarnakashipu tried, he could not kill his son. Now, this is a modern-day application. There's a type of hypocrisy that exists within the Hare Krishna movement. Here's what it is. People think, other people have spoiled my devotional service. It doesn't exist. That concept does not exist. What it is you've been tested and you failed your test. There must be some reason for that test. Now, maybe you did something not nice to someone previously. Now you've been persecuted or whatever. But there's no test that cannot be passed. If there was a test that could not be passed, then this verse would be false. This verse is not false. When it says apratiyata, we should understand nothing can stop us. And we should take heart from that. It means that in the prosecution of our devotional service, we need not fear what other people will do, what other people will think. We will do our duty, do what is right by Krishna. And we should have complete faith that whatever happens, Krishna will protect us. Rakshishyatiti vishvaso goptritvi varanam tata. Surrender means Krishna will protect me, Krishna will maintain me. And I mentioned before this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna, Nirdvandva, Nitya Sattvasto, Yoga Kshema, Atmavan. One should be, Krishna tells Arjuna, rise above the Vedas. This is mainly dealing with the modes of nature. But he says, Nirdvandva, Nitya Sattvasto. Be situated in Nitya Sattva, in the pure goodness, and be Atmavan, self-situated, and near yoga kshema means do not care about gain and do not care about preservation. Whatever you have, don't worry about it, and whatever you want that you don't have, don't worry about that either. Krishna will take everything everything is under Krishna's control. This is real surrender. And that the fruit of that surrender, you know, in the seventh canto, it said, lovely statement, avartate pravritena nivritain amritashnute. If you follow pravritti marg, you'll avartati, you'll go round and round in the cycle of birth and death. But if you follow the navritti marg, ashnuti amrita, you'll attain eternal life. And that is actually what we want. We want to attain this eternal life. Now here's a little analogy. Prabhupada gave this analogy. When he's talking about dharma, he wants us to transcend the ethnic nature of religion and take the para-dharma. So he gives the example. He says, gold is gold. You know, you heard this example before? There's no such thing as Hindu gold, Muslim gold, Christian gold. Because if you know what something actually is, you can recognize it. So Radhanath Swami gives a nice example. When he was traveling, before he met Prabhupada, he met a Muslim and a Hindu, and they would sit together and they'd discuss scriptures, and they would relish each other's scriptures. And he asked, how is this possible? So then one of them said, the Shishi Radhago Kulananda Ki Jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanumana Ki Jai, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. One of them said, the dog will recognize its master even if the master dresses differently. So the point being, if you actually really do know God, then you will recognize God in other forms. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made this very clear. He says, Sanatan Dharma exists in other cultures, in other languages, and it should be respected when you see it. He also says, if you see it and you don't understand it, you should not criticize it. Instead, you should appreciate they are worshipping in a different way. I worship God in a different way. And by looking at them, you can get a better appreciation of how you see God. So it's like, we're supposed to like be synergetic here. We're supposed to like, you know, build on each other's faith. When we see faith in different contexts, it can challenge us, but we should build on that, and we should use it to nourish our own particular way of worshiping the Lord. In one lecture in Vrindavan, this is when Srila Prabhupada, he's gone to the West, the movement has blossomed, he's now in Vrindavan, and he's describing, mainly to Indians, and he's saying, if I had gone to the West to turn Christians into Hindus, they would have kicked me out long ago. But instead, I've come to give the essence, and they've understood it. This is Prabhupada's preaching. If you try and convert from one religion to another, try and get people to do that, it won't work. But if you give people the essence, bring them to the essence, then it will work. That's how it works. Now, we've got a few minutes left. I'll say a little bit about this word supracidity. There's a lot can be said about this word. You know, in one statement, one lecture, Prabhupada says, prasadam means prakrishta rupena siddhati. Now, who's heard this term prakrishta rupena? Prabhupada uses it around 50 times in lectures. You heard it before? Yes. Prahlad Maharaj, prakrishta rupena ahlada. Ahlad means happiness, and prahlad means complete happiness. Is that the pra is a prefix, and it makes the word stronger in meaning. To say that in Sanskrit, you say prakrishta. Prakrishta means excessive. So prakrishta rupena means extra, like prakrishta rupena ahlad means extra happiness. Prakrishta rupena nipat means pranipatena. It means complete surrender. Nipat means surrender. Pranipat, complete surrender. I mentioned Dharma Prajita Kaitavatra. Prakrishta Rupena Ujjata. Ujjata means to reject. And Pra Ujjata means to completely reject cheating religion. Kaitava Dharma. Pra Ujjata. What is complete rejection? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains. Pra Shabdi Moksha Vansha Kaitava Pradhan. The greatest form of cheating is the desire for liberation. So we must give that up as well. So that's Pra Shabda. So pra means to make it stronger. So siddhati means satisfaction. So Prabhupada says prasadam means complete satisfaction because the word pra is there. Pra siddhati means complete satisfaction, and su pra siddhati, even more complete satisfaction. So it's a very, very strong word. What Prabhupada is saying, what Srila Vyasadeva is saying is, if you take this concept of bhakti, which is ahoituki and apratiyata, then that satisfaction you're going to get is just, it is of another dimension altogether. It is something that we know, the symptoms of prema. One of them is, if you have prema, you cannot live without it. You know this? You know, it's what's that phrase? Tvai dritasavas tvam vichinvati. The gopis are praying to Krishna, Tvai drita asava. Asu means the life here. They're saying, our life heirs are held by you. Now, why are they saying that? Because they could not live otherwise. The pain of separation is so great that they will instantly die of separation. The only way they can live is because their life heirs are held, their life is held by Krishna. That's what it means. So, we're talking here that prema is so powerful that without it, you cannot live. So supracidity is a type of satisfaction which is so great, you cannot live without it. The last line, yayatma supracidity, that's the same line, or actually it's slightly different. The previous verse was yenatma supracidity. But the happiness in that situation was the happiness of the question. O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to the Lord Krishna and are so of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. There's a nice verse in the 10th canto. Vasudeva kata prashna purushang stream punatihi vaktaram prachakam shrotrings tat pada salinam yata. Just as the Ganges purifies the three worlds, the upper, lower, and middle planetary systems, Krishna Katha purifies three people: the speaker, the questioner, and the listener. You see? So that is why at the end of Bhagavatam class you should have a question, which I will conclude shortly. It's a little, I thought. Before I take your question, I'll say one more thing. Thank you. The purport was saying this is the answer to the first question. If you look at the first question, you'll also find the term yanatma supersedity. The question was, there are so many scriptures, what is the essence of scripture that will completely satisfy us? In this connection, we may remember a story from the 11th canto, and it's in the Uddhava Gita. It's the story of King Yadu. He met an Avadhut Brahmin, and he could see this person was extremely advanced, so he inquired from him how he became advanced. The Avadhut said, "I learnt from nature." So he gave 24 gurus. One of the gurus was the bee. No, actually, you learn, although there are 24 gurus, there are roughly 40 or 50 lessons, because some gurus, there are many lessons. From the bee, there were several lessons. There's different types of bee. One is called the Makshika bee, which collects honey and then becomes trapped in the hive. So it's a warning, don't become a collector. Don't collect too much things in this world. You know this Rishi, what's the name of the... Was it Loma Rishi? I can't remember. Lomasha Rishi. He had the benediction for every hair on his body, he would live a lifetime of Lord Brahma. So how many kalpas is that? So his followers decided, we'll build him a little bhajan kutir. And he replied, "Why bother? I'm not here for very long." what's millions of kalpas in comparison to eternity? Anyway, so the Makshika is the bee that traps itself in the hive because it collects too much honey. But there's also the Brahmara bee. Brahmara means wanders around. The Brahmara bee goes from flower to flower taking the nectar. So the lesson to be learnt from that is we should go from scripture to scripture and take the nectar. That is what we're doing. So we're like the bee. We take the essence of the Vedas. Now the Srimad Bhagavatam is that essence. In the next chapter, there's a statement, Saram Saram Samudritam. This is the extracted essence. The question was, what is the essence? Today's verse, Savai Pumshan Puro Dharmo, is the essence. But the Bhagavatam itself is also described to be that essence. Saram is the word that means essence. And what is an essence seeker? He's a Saragrahi Vaishnav. Saragrahi means one takes the essence. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. So we don't need to go any further. We don't need to start picking little bits of the Bhagavatam. We read the whole Bhagavatam. It is all essence. Hare Krishna.